What is brave storytelling? As audiences get harder and harder to pin down, it's a re-emerging way to differentiate your brand from that of another. I'm Kareem Taylor, contributing editor at Promax BDA, and you're listening to the Daily Brief Podcast. Today, Sabrina Malik, VP Consumer Marketing and Strategy at A&E, and Jonathan Davis, who's the VP of Brand Creative at A&E, present at Promax BDA The Conference what they call branding without the bull. And they walk us through various creative examples, taking a hard look at what it takes to innovate, reduce spend, and work with artists in order to break through in this tough environment. So many stories here, so inspiring. Let's listen in.
Hello.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming to our session. Our session is called Branding Without Bullshit. And, bullshit with the asterisk T. And it's really, it really just is about level setting and acknowledging where you are as a brand. And just like kind of just admitting to everyone, because we, you know, when we were, we'll go into more detail when we're telling you about this, but when we were first, you know, kind of trying to do this level setting, a lot of us were probably under self-delusional myths of what we'd heard that our brand is or not. And so I think part of it is just acknowledging the issues that you're facing and addressing the need for change and everyone getting behind that. So remember three things. In case any of you leave before we finish our presentation, the three things that we want you to remember from this is stop debating brand versus show. Brand is never going to live on its own. It's always going to be through your product or the shows that you're creating. So whether you see Nike, Apple, Coca-Cola, you'll never see them talking about their higher brand promise without referencing their product in the ad.
The second thing is if you want to be bold, let bold people speak. Creatively, I cannot best say everything. You have to go to artists and you have to find specialists who can.
And the last thing is converting your viewers into fans. Listen to them, just hear what they've got to say, and that's really going to convert them into your lifelong fans for you. And we'll talk more about how you can do that and also have an impact that's beyond just your communications and your show as a product in our final section. So the first thing, before we get into it, quick test for you guys. Shout out the brands behind the product or the show you see. And we're going to start with a really easy one, because the brand's on there. Perfect. Who creates this? And this? Oh. Heard a Warner there. But yes, AMC. And then the last one. Right. So pretty much 98% of you all knew the answers, with the exception of one voice that was a detractor, but pretty much you know that all these brands are big blockbusters, and yes, they have kind of created those brands over time, but they've created such a tightly knit story that you really know that brand without even knowing, without having to see it. So, you know, one of the things that we realized is that brands will give you that halo. Even if you don't have the blockbuster that these guys were, brand gives you that kind of halo. And whether you have the PR machine behind you or a big budget behind you, because you've got this brand that acts as a halo for you, people will give you that kind of benefit of the doubt. And you may not have watched Walking Dead before you've watched Mad Men. But Walking Dead might not have been your cup of tea, but you might give it the benefit of the doubt because of AMC. And same with HBO. I watched Sex and the City. I would be willing to give other shows of that ilk a chance if they're HBO shows. So really, people give you the benefit of the doubt. And people who say that brand doesn't matter, honestly, in my opinion, it's because they often don't have it. So our problem last year really was that we were in a place where we were trying to establish a cultural relevance, but more importantly, we couldn't find this connection and people weren't remembering our shows, if you like. They weren't putting the two and two together, and they weren't connecting our shows to our brand. So we wanted to be relevant. We wanted this connection and the brand attribution. And we really wanted a blockbuster that people would know us by. And Life PD hadn't yet, at that point, established itself as the number one true crime show on cable. Plug there. People weren't connecting that. So instead of one big show that gave us this brand affinity, we really needed to find this kind of common thread that I've been talking about to tie all of our shows under one banner and create a campaign that unified them. The first stage in that is looking at what shows we create. So whether it was Intervention, which is a show about drug users or opioid users, people who are addicted to substances, or whether it was 60 Days In, where people are willingly going into jail for 60 days to undergo an experiment and see what what incarceration in America looks like, whether it's Born This Way, a show that we follow people with Down syndrome, or whether it's Leah Remini, who's taking on Scientology after leaving the church herself and exposing the craziness that goes on there. Every one of these shows, we realized when we looked in it, like, what is that unifying thread? But we knew that our talent are all together trying with their intent to tell these bold stories. They're all, that was that one unifying factor. So providing this platform for them has been very satisfying and also successful for us. Just want to show you a quick clip from Intervention, which was a few years ago, actually.
I went to any lengths to drink, and now I have to go to any lengths to stay sober. That's all there is to it.
I'm looking at a completely different person, and I can't wait to find out more about myself.
Someone can take this and learn from it. It'll make this whole experience worthwhile.
Being here was such a gift.
Even if you don't care about yourself, someone else will care about you until you do.
Intervention was probably the best thing that could have happened to me.
So that was from a micro level, just looking internally. We also looked at the macro environment to see what other people were saying in the space. And we saw that other networks and other content providers were really beginning to use some of the vernacular and storytelling that we were looking at, and using even terms like Brave, iterations of Brave that we had been looking at, whether it was FX with Fearless or USA with We the Bold, National Geographic talking about Further, Netflix talking about stories and discovering them, and it's essentially New York Times. We were almost synthesizing our platform, and at the same time, New York Times came out with their very powerful message of truth, in response, obviously, largely to the sitting head of state at the minute. But it was for us even more important at that moment to stake our claim and to identify what it was that we could be known as for all the shows that we'd been creating for a long time. So we really had to make something or come up with something that really solidified our DNA and stayed true to it. And our solution was this: Brave storytelling. We'd been doing this long before we put a name to it. It was just really trying to find something that we could all get behind. And really, it was interesting to us because as soon as we identified this platform, we saw everyone from every department really rallying behind it. And it's rare when marketing can come up with something and, you know, everyone from programmers, producers, even people in finance were like, yeah, we get that. That really makes sense. JD is going to take you through some of the campaign itself. But what we really saw after the first wave of the campaign was people were using some of that terminology back to us. And we started seeing things that that it really proved that it was resonating with people. So whether it was people saying what you hope reality TV should be all about, it wasn't just another mindless ad for a network, or the inclusion, the race, disability, gender, everything that you include was very appealing to us. Whatever we were hearing back really was just endorsing some of the things that we wanted to own.
So let's take a look at the campaign. This was, all of our shows have always been a variety of tonalities. It's a lot of different people with different life stories and different voices. Some are light, some are dark. There's happy moments, there's traumatic moments. But this was the first time that we set out to bring all of it together and prove why it all made sense in the same place. So tying them together visually, tying together them tonally, and additionally, positioning ourselves as a culture brand. What we did was we partnered with Amanda Demme, photographer, among other things, who was notable for her New York Magazine cover featuring the women who came forward against Bill Cosby, partnering with her to bring it together in an artful way. In short, we let talent speak. This is a film that we made about that.
I am not a believer in that there's three sides to every story. I believe there is the truth, and that's what I'm interested in.
I think when we look closer at the Wahlburgers, we see how many of us have eighth grade education.
I cannot think of a better way to show what law enforcement officers go through on a daily basis. It's not scripted, unedited, and I don't think it could have come at a better time.
Storytelling needs bravery because it's scary to say the words, I was kidnapped, raped, and held captive for 9 months.
In pop culture, we need to see people with disabilities. I just wanted to be equal with everybody.
What we've been able to do is tell human stories. We're just scratching the surface.
So we came up with this idea of we are not. Our line was we are A&E. So this line, we are not. We are not resting. We are not afraid, limited, predictable, victims, alone. The idea here was to give talent the opportunity to reject the labels that had been placed on them and instead to claim a definition. Now, when we set out on this process, we wrote all of these lines. But when we started working with the talent, the great thing was that they rejected those lines. They rejected everything that we had brought to them. And instead, they came back with their own. But that was a great feeling. It meant that they were invested. It meant that they were, they understood the platform. They understood the premise behind what we were trying to do. So not only did they write their own We Are Not lines, but talent that we hadn't yet shot began requesting to be a part of the brand campaign. And not only did talent request to be a part of it, but artists reached out to us, asking to be a part of the promotion of shows or to be a part of the campaign as well. So these relationships and this campaign sparked a bigger idea for us. If you want to be bold, let bold people speak. Or as we said it in the building, if you want to be brave, let brave people speak. We wanted to cut through, to reach audiences where they are, and to become a culture brand. The harsh reality is that you cannot shortcut that success. You have to innovate the way you speak in order to stay relevant. And our innovation was to stop talking. It's a time now of clickbait, et cetera, and brands have to prove that they are not just faceless bots trying to get people to watch something. Marketers all too often appropriate voices and appropriate personalities, and the best practice is to stop. The better practice is to think of the marketing team and recognize that the marketing team is more than just the people in the building. Identify the right outlets, identify the right partnerships that you're philosophically aligned to, people who have strong, provocative, resonant voices, and let them speak. These can be musicians, artists, news outlets, whatever it is, but you can never do it better than them, so let them do it. So that's what we did. We worked with a variety of artists over the last year. I'm gonna show some examples. People, when we created these pieces together, we didn't just do them as art pieces. We created these pieces as the tune-in, as the out-of-home, as the off-channel, whatever it was. We, under the premise that if you can get people to have an emotional connection with the work, then they will remember it. You have to go beyond the promo, go beyond just saying what it is that the show is. When you provoke people, they will have that connection, they'll remember it, and so here we go. Number one. So we were doing a biography of Tupac Shakur, the conspiracy around his death, and we reached out to Ronald Brent, aka Risky Forever, who has done some of the most iconic album art in hip-hop history, honestly, including Tupac's 1996 album Machiavelli. We wanted Risky to imagine what Tupac's role in society would be now, 21 years after his death. We wanted to capture that emotion so viewers had the connection to it. He sent us two options. We picked one. They were not rounds and rounds of revisions. We used it as the, on the hotel, the wall outside the Hotel Figueroa and at the Barclays Center for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So the lesson here was tap into people who were present for history. If you're talking about a person, if you're talking about a time, go to the people who were there for it. Leverage those voices. Their immediacy will be the viewer's immediacy. Okay, number two. We were doing a documentary about the 25th anniversary of the LA riots. John Singleton was the EP, and ultimately the documentary won an Emmy. So we reached out to artist Kadir Nelson. He's a painter, fine artist, who is responsible for taking some of the most incendiary and important moments in American culture and treating them with nuance and provocation. So we reached out to him, and he had such a deep connection with this time period and with the LA riots, even deeper than we assumed he did, that he essentially cleared his schedule to accommodate the project. The sketch was made, he took about a week, made the sketch, and sent it to us. It was almost exactly like this, and it was beautiful. We used it as the billboard to try to put that art out into the world. The lesson here that we learned was when you partner with someone who really knows their voice and their craft, don't micromanage them. The briefing process is different, the notes process is different, and the results are different, and that's what you're going for. Marsha Clark. We had a new series called Marsha Clark Investigates the First 48. So we pitched this concept to Marsha Clark, and she played hardball, kind of predictably. And at the time, well, she has a trial record of 15-1, one very notable loss, of course. In many ways, she is the perfect A&E voice. However, we knew from research that there was an underperformance in likability, and our theory was that if we could connect her to the fans and if she could speak, then they would immediately be converted. So this was an extension of our brand campaign. Amanda Demme was our partner with this one as well. And the art here was capturing emotion with, capturing Marsha's emotion. So I'm gonna play the film that we made together now.
Storytelling in all of its ways tells a truth. And when you speak your truth, it's so important not to let people silence you, not to let them make you stop. After the trial, there was, of course, criticism. There were hard times. But what I remember more are the women who came up to me to say, because of you, I went to law school. Because of you, I became a prosecutor. And you never know. When a memory's gonna hit, I haven't thought about this in like 15 years. I was doing speaking engagements around the country, and she came up to me after one of them and said, my husband put me in the hospital. He almost killed me. But because I watched you through the trial, I decided that I could do better. I left him and I went to law school, and now I'm a lawyer. And people like that, who have so much courage and can rebuild their lives that way, I remembered them, and that's what keeps me going.
We did actually use this to promote the show as well. So like I said, it wasn't just part of the brand campaign. The lesson here was restraint is as much of a technique as anything else. This whole project was a constant exercise in not doing too much. Next, intervention. So intervention is one of our long-running North Star shows. We decided to work with artist Michael Murphy from Perceptual Art. So each of his works is like a magic trick. He is able to take multiple perspectives and connect them in a way that the viewer hasn't imagined before, and that the viewer can immediately learn something. On several occasions, his work has been really successful. On several occasions, it was a top voted post on Reddit, among other things. So we reached out to him, and of course, being diligent marketers, we've been prepping the pitch for weeks. And he immediately said yes. Again, another example of someone who has that passion in the subject matter, immediately being able to contribute something in a creative way. He came up with the idea for what I'm about to play on the phone. This was all practical. He actually built this in a warehouse in Brooklyn. The lesson here is if something excites you, don't belabor it. This entire experience, even though it was about the subject of intervention in the opioid crisis, was actually a really exciting creative one. Maintain that excitement, and it can actually be relatively easy to bring creative to life. Okay, and the last example. First 48, so another long-running show of ours, another North Star show of ours. Quite frankly, the show had become creatively stale for us. It's been on for a long time, but it's always been a constant performer. And the fans have always really been dedicated, and they deserve to know that we were still invested in it and that we respected them. The fan base is very loyal. One of those fans is Razel. So Razel is one of the founders, the originators of Beatbox, and helped create the art. And he reached out to us about 4 years ago, and we did nothing with it. Something clicked. 4 years later, we reached back out to him, and it was time to tap into him, that is to say, to tap into the fans. So we sat with him over 2 recording sessions and put together a song, ultimately shot a music video for this custom piece. And the first time he was performing it in the control room, everybody who was there just immediately had a grin on their face because it was just so awesome to watch. And I'm going to play that piece now.
The clock is ticking. Guilty.
And that really was just him and a microphone. There was no, the audio channel on that was just, it was one channel. That was it. This was a massive lesson for us. You, in order to be successful, you have to convert viewers into fans. Build a dialogue with them, and then when the time is right and the project is right, you convert the fans into content. So this has been our path. Going from the people in the building, the way we think about the marketing team, to the people in front of the camera and behind the camera, to artists and to fans. First we stopped talking, and then when we started listening, we started hearing all of these other people who could contribute, and that's been the trajectory over the last 2 years approximately.
Yeah, these pieces were incredibly fun to make, but they were also business driven. Because we actually, in some cases, saved money by doing it this way. So it was a really interesting experiment for us as well to be very selective with who we're going and using their voices instead of our own all the time. And, you know, they have their own style, and that's really what we were leveraging. We've driven engagement, we've driven ratings, and in some cases, the performances have been 200% over our engagement benchmarks, so that's been a real true validation for us as well. And so as JD said, don't appropriate those voices. You really want to, we've seen what happens, you know, I don't know if any of you guys follow Diet Prada, but we've seen what happens when you try and appropriate in fashion and how quickly and vocal backlashes can be. So, and if there's someone that you love working with, get everyone energized behind them, because you'll really see that that makes a difference when, you know, we took this, we always face massive challenges with our legal team because some of our content is so contentious, you've got to be very sensitive with the case of Live PD and First 48 specifically. And, you know, getting them to be as passionate, we spent an hour on a Friday night with our legal team, just taking them through scene by scene of this Rozelle video, and it really got them to a place where they understood where we were coming from. So they have to be as energized as you throughout the whole whole team.
It was a very fun Friday.
Yeah, fun Friday. Yeah. So the final thing, converting your viewers into fans. And, you know, the fact, and one of the things that we really want to talk about was how you have that legacy or impact beyond just your shows and your products. Viewers have just so much choice and variety now. They can choose whatever they want to watch. And if they're choosing you, then that's really them taking their time out. You've got to respect that. And I'm not saying to, hey, when you're listening to fans, that means you change your course of action or you change your strategy or whatever you're creating. We don't do that. But what we do do is try and listen to them and have a dialogue and at least hear them and feel like they're being respected. And that goes a long way to converting them into those fans of yours from being viewers. And also then giving them content that matters to them and really, like, you know, and it doesn't just have to be the shows, beyond the shows as well. The content that we try and create is really, like, it's sometimes a dialogue from what we've heard from them. And we'll show you a couple of examples to close out the session. And, you know, whether you're driving people to some kind of action, whether it's clicks or purchase or protest, at least you're eliciting something that you can use to pivot if you need to. So to be a brand that gets remembered and relevant, that's really what you're using your fans to do.
So a couple of examples of just how that part of the relationship has formulated over time. We found out from fans that they really wanted to understand what it was like to be in jail. So we obliged. And it was important for us to come up with a piece that sort of gave an understanding of the day-to-day, but also to be able to be tonally different from the show itself, which is relatively dark. So the following piece is a way of giving the fans an understanding of that. We wanted people to get closer, and we knew we could provide that.
And with Leah, we just saw, it's just such an incredible reaction because, you know that she's taking down the Church of Scientology after having been in there for so many years herself. And what we saw was people were coming out with their own stories, not just to her, but to us, writing to us to tell their stories. And not just about Scientology, about a whole host of cults and things that we wouldn't even associate with being cults themselves, and just these things that we just weren't aware of. For example, Jehovah's Witness. So it was just like a really big kind of influx of just feedback that we were getting from fans who wanted to be part and tell their stories as well. And, you know, this whole ecosystem of fans, talent, show came together for us in our Reddit AMA with Leah, which was the seventh highest, I think, of all time. And then Born This Way, I think, you know, with this one, it was really heartening for us because, you know, people were writing back to us and saying, you know, I'm having a child. I know that child's going to have Down. And by watching your show, it's really inspired me to know that life doesn't have to be that tough. I know that there's light at the end of this tunnel. And we even had people who wrote into us and the producers, Boona Murray, who said, oh my God, I'm going to adopt a child who has Down now because I know that I can deal with it. And I've seen some of the successes and the jobs that these people have been able to get. And I know that they can have a normal life as well. So it's been very heartwarming and incredibly satisfying to do that as well.
And then finally, live PD. So we came to know that fans were hosting watch parties for each of the episodes, and that was a huge mark of success for us. So we reached out to them and asked them to send us those videos, packaged it up, and showed it and sent it back out to them. We also created a trailer. I'm going to show two pieces of creative back-to-back. We created a trailer that was essentially that full ecosystem from the network to the studio to the officers in the field to the fans themselves, just to show that appreciation, to show that we knew that it was, to show that there was a relationship between the fans and us, and that we were listening. These are the most recent examples of what we've been doing, and just to give to illustrate the point of how far this process has moved for us in the last year and a half.
I believe I got one fail to stop on me. We're in the Cambridge Square Park. The black Lincoln LS.
Yeah, the response was crazy.
This is Live PD.
A 17-year-old doing 117 miles per hour with a pistol.
You're like this. You're all over the place.
You just saw me do a backflip.
That is actually unusual behavior.
51, you're on the air. Stand by the map tonight and animate the map.
He's running. Oh.
So thank you. I'm glad we started with the 3 points because we thought, oh shit, people are gonna leave. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said shit. Said it again. But thank you for not leaving. And these are the 3 points again, so I don't need to repeat them because you heard them at the beginning. But just to reiterate our brave storytelling, and I hope that you guys enjoyed it.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. Kareem Taylor produced this episode. Video Helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate Lekier-Marion contributes to Daily Brief. Follow Promax BDA on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media platforms at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.